make it, do it. Makes us all the better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right, comes back to the left, going long for Gordon. He's out there, and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Well, unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
Hallelujah, amen. The Browns have a head coach.
Yes, they have
a head coach. It's over. The search over. Mike Pettine, the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns, was introduced yesterday, and we are going to have him on this show today at 1:45. You will hear for the first time on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, the head coach of the Browns, Mike Pettine. He'll be in our studio, and we're going to break down a lot of things. We're going to talk about his introductory news conference. The press conference is always a big deal because there is that, it's almost a cliche, but it's worth addressing, the winning of the press conference, and how did he fare there? And we're going to analyze that. Nathan and I were front row.
We were.
Checking it all out yesterday.
We weren't in the euchre seats.
No, we weren't. We were on top of it. So we're going to get into that. Mary Kay Cabot also was at that press conference and covers the Browns for Cleveland.com. We're going to hear from her in about 15 minutes or so on the line to get her thoughts. And we'll also hear from another Browns beat reporter, Scott Petrak, joining us at 2:15, Gerard Cherry, 2:45. But important to get the beat writers involved with this show because a lot is going on in phase two of after a head coach is hired is what kind of staff is he going to put together, and we want to break that down. But before we do that, I really want to get into this press conference. And I thought Mike Pettine did a really good job for a guy who said he wasn't concerned about that, wanted to get out of that suit and tie and get into his, you know, his togs, his more comfortable wear for a head coach. But I thought he handled himself quite well.
I was very impressed, and I went into it and not knowing really what to expect. I'd seen him on Hard Knocks, and to me, he came across like a guy who eats, sleeps, breathes football, a working man who is here to work, knows that it's not the glitz and glam and being boastful and braggadocious gets you nothing. It's a bottom line business, he said. It is all about winning, and I loved that about him. I love the fact that he said and used the word accountable multiple times, said these players will be graded to a high standard on every snap of every practice of every game. They will be held accountable to that high standard, and he talked about the team being tough and even addressed the same old Browns. I thought it was interesting that he used the phrase same old Browns. Yeah. Talked themselves into losing, and we're going to change that. We're going to change it about mental toughness, physical toughness, and this is going to be a team, it sounds to me, that will have an identity going forward as a tough team that will fight to the end and that will be disciplined, aggressive, and just tenacious, and that's what I liked about it. And I felt that you got a guy who we talked about fitting the city.
Right.
No nonsense. Worked his way up from the very bottom of the Baltimore Ravens organization. He even answered questions about the time when he was taping practices, making copies, doing the things to be around football. And he said he didn't regret it. In fact, he said he loved every second of it. I was very impressed with him. I'm excited to see the staff that he's going to put together. We'll talk about the rumors that are out there for offensive and defensive coordinator candidates. But I'm very impressed with Mike Pettine. He was exactly what I hoped he would be in that conference. And I think that, you know, win, lose the conference. He looked like a guy who doesn't care about how he is perceived by the media. He cares about winning, and that will change perception. I thought one quote that really stood out to me was when he was talking about other people looking for better jobs, and he said, do your job better, and the opportunities will find you.
I like that, and I like the fact that he referred to there are only 32 jobs like this in the world, and he has one of them. To the idea of the attractiveness or unattractiveness of the Browns head coaching job. And there was a lot made of that because of all the candidates they talked with and a perception that, quote, nobody wanted this job. Mike Pettine wanted the job.
Yes.
It was very clear that he wanted the job. That came across yesterday. We talked on yesterday's show with Jim Donovan about his connection with the fans, and I thought the first place you connect with people who live in this community is that you want to be part of their community when you're not from here, when you didn't grow up here. And in most cases with the Browns organization, with pro sports teams in town, It's people from elsewhere who have to adopt this as their home. I've done that. You've done that. This is home. This is a place we love to be.
Yep.
We relate to it. We feel good here. We look forward every day to doing this show, but being part of it, and the rare opportunity we have. There's really only there aren't 32 jobs like this. It's fewer than that because not every team in the National Football League has a setup like we do, and that's special about the Browns. But there are even fewer jobs like this that we do in this league, and we treasure that. But treasure being in Cleveland, and Mike Pettine, I think, connected with the fan base very quickly. The fact that he looks like a WWE guy doesn't hurt him. The fact that he's got
Stone Cold,
right? That prominent chin with the goatee, the deep-set eyes, the bald head.
I love that from your column, by the way. Oh. I was giddy as I was reading your column, and you're like comparing it. You had
WWE
analogy going for the first few paragraphs. I absolutely loved it. And I agree with you. I think he looks the part. He looks like a guy from this region who is here to get down
to
business.
No nonsense.
Yes. And, you know, when we talked to Gerard Cherry, and we'll do that at the end of the show, he felt, as an observer and a guy who played for a coach that certainly holds you accountable, and, you know, I think it takes a player to know this, he felt that players were not being held accountable for their actions in the past. And that was clear to me that that is priority or belief or core tenet number one of Mike Pettine. And he was asked why it's going to be different with him. And this is what he said yesterday at the press conference. And I love this. Because I have a belief in the staff we're going to build. I have belief in the players. And I have a belief in the system that we will run here. Standards will be high. Players will be held accountable. That formula has been applied other places, and it has been successful.
And he said multiple times about hard grading of players.
Yes.
I think this won over Jimmy Haslam and Joe Banner in a big way during the interview process. I think they wanted to know specifically what he had in mind, to what standard would he be holding players, because I think this is just, I can't go too far with this as if I sat in on any of those sessions last year when they spoke with Rob Chudzinski specifically and went through the whole interview process for a coach last year. But I think one thing in their mind that maybe slipped through the cracks was not truly getting a handle on how the coach they eventually hired, Chudzinski, last year, would be doing that. Like, to what standard would players be held? What would push them to improve? And that was a big theme in A, the decision to part ways with Chud,
yep,
and B, what would carry over into the hiring process this time around. So that was a big point. And I know there are specifics to this, and when we have Mike Pettine on the show, I'd like him as best he can or as much as he will allow to define what that hard grading is all about at all positions. And it's kind of like a practice-to-practice thing, right? It's a day-to-day thing through off-season workouts or through training camp for sure, and what that means. Because the whole concept here is a team's got to get better, and especially a younger team has got to show improvement. And when you get into those latter months, November, December, where the Browns looked like in 2013, they were regressing or certainly maybe stagnant, whatever was leading to 4-12, those things did. We want to see something other than that. And I think this is part of what they liked Mike Pettine for, or at least something that he did to win them over. The other part of this press conference thing, the words are important, but I also thought the delivery. What I like about him, too, is concise. He lays his plan out there. It's clear. It's understandable. He doesn't feel the need to go heavily into describing in sharp detail exactly what he wants to do with things, but you get the idea. In a small phrase, like he talked about, you know, a division like the AFC North, where you're not afraid to have
bloody your nose.
That said it all. That's grasping the big picture.
Absolutely. And he said and he followed that up with, I think that's the mentality that we're going to take here. This team is going to be built on toughness. And I love that. And the other thing that I loved, and I think that all good coaches and great coaches do this. Now, just because that he understands that doesn't mean he necessarily will be great. But I loved this particular line when he was asked kind of, you know, what scheme he was going to run. And he said, looking from a scheme standpoint, I'm not one to speak on what we'll be running because, again, that's going to be based on an evaluation of the roster. And here comes what I thought was the key sentence. I've always been of the mindset that you never fit your players to your system. You fit your system to your players. And too often, I think even at the NFL level, you have coaches who are set in their ways and say, this is what I run. This is what we're running. get on board as opposed to tailoring it to the absolute strengths of your players.
And I think that approach, when it's all about your system and get guys to fit your system, that can cause a divide with your personnel staff.
Right.
And an extremely critical step that has to be taken with this hire is a meshing between this coaching staff and the personnel staff that obviously didn't exist last year, or if it existed, it disappeared at some point. Maybe it existed in the offseason when Chud was hired. Everybody said the right things publicly and in meetings and whatever. Once you got into training camp and once you got into the season, there was clearly a divide formed. There clearly was a drifting apart of the two sides. So I think just what you nailed right there. I think if you're a head coach who's open to doing the things that put your players, whoever they are, in the best position and take advantage of them, you're not afraid of putting a guy in the lineup because you don't think, well, he doesn't quite do it the way this system is designed to do. No, no. What does the guy do? This is part of it. What does he bring to the table? And yes, system fit is important. I'm not diminishing it, but there has to be a happy medium or a happier medium than this is how we run our offense and everybody's got to play it just this way. I think that will change somewhat with Mike Pettine, and I think particularly on the defensive side where we hear about these multiple fronts, who wouldn't thrive more in that than a Barkevius Mingo? There's a guy, he was somewhat...
Jamal Sheard.
And Sheard, too. But I'm especially about Mingo because of the great disappointment over how he performed coming up short as a sixth overall pick. And I think when you've got a scheme that is going to look a lot like the 46 scheme that Buddy Ryan used many years ago with the Chicago Bears, then later with the Philadelphia Eagles. He was the father of the 46. It is the Rex Ryan system. It is the system that Mike Pettine knows best, having worked with Ryan for several years in Baltimore and also as his defensive coordinator with the Jets. I think that will be an important step to take a Barkevius Mingo and say, okay, you're not just the edge rushing guy in a 3-4 outside linebacker. You could have your hand down in some situations, which is what he did as a defensive end at LSU. You move him around the line. You find gaps and spots where this guy can go in and be his best and be that kind of player. And I think I really think that system was something that, again, Joe Banner and Jimmy Haslam had in mind as well, because they're not giving up on Barkevius Mingo. They want a coach that's going to maximize that player, especially along with others. But, I mean, I think that's what they had in mind.
And I think you make a great point there. And if you go on to ClevelandBrowns.com and go through our archives, when we did the defensive line and linebacker evaluations, one of the things we talked about in the framework of knowing that Pettine or Quinn were possible coaches for this team was that the Browns have a team that could go 4-3 as easily as it could go 3-4, and a multiple front coach can take advantage of that and get the best out of them. Bart Scott, he said to me, and said this specifically, Mike Pettine will know exactly how to make Barkevius Mingo a household name. He will know exactly what to do with him in this offense, in this defense, and in this scheme. Trevor Price, who played for him in, again, both Baltimore and in New York, tweeted yesterday that this was a great hire, absolutely a great hire. The Browns finally got it right, he said on his Twitter. He is a guy who I've heard say plenty of disparaging things about plenty of people. So if he says something nice, it is very much genuine, and I take that. And, you know, I'm excited about what he's going to do. I'm excited about the fact that he understands the city of Cleveland. He's excited to be here. He said, again, admiring from afar the fan base here. They're among the most passionate in the league. He gets that. There's a lot of good things here, and we can continue to digest here through the press conference. And also, the one thing I know you love for your boy Joe Flacco, he said this, I'll bet on myself. I don't care about the perceived lack of security. I'm the confidence I have in myself, and I like that from a head coach and a leader of this football team.
That's huge. That's huge. And I think, for sake of a better term, the tough guy act that he pulls off quite well, quite convincingly, you know, got right into it with the hiring of this guy. I think at some point he let the Browns know, are we doing something? This is a blank or get off the pot situation for me, because he's very close with Doug Marrone. He got a great opportunity to be the defensive coordinator in Buffalo. He knew he was stringing that out. He knew the Browns were stringing out the process in a way that was hurtful to the Bills. And at some point he did not want that to be, he did not want to be part of something that was going to undermine his former team. So he, I think at some point said, what are we doing, guys? And I think the Browns like that as well. All right, Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Browns for Cleveland.com, is going to join us on the line. We're going to get into coordinator possibilities. Who's coming aboard as offensive coordinator? Reports have brought up Gary Kubiak's name, the former head coach of the Houston Texans. We've heard other names for the other side of the ball. We'll get into all of that and more on this Football Friday, this Hallelujah, the Coach Has Been Hired Friday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.